This is Robert Kelly, and you're listening to Game Stuff with that hunk of shit host, Coke Logic.
Hello, my name is facebook.com/clubsodakenny, and you're listening to Game Stuff with the person I'm going to see on Wednesday, June 15th at the Chicago Theater on North State Street, because he'll be attending the Antisocial Network comedy show. It's none other than the great Coke Logic.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Big Kev's Game Stuff, the 2011 E3 Spectacular. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Super Game Stuff is broadcasting from E3, and I am bringing this episode to you completely commercial-free. On this show, I'm going to cover the press conferences from Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, and Electronic Arts, and try to talk about as many newly announced games as possible. But there's a shit ton of games to get to, so let's get to it. First up, we have the Microsoft press conference. The first game to talk about is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. There were two demos being shown off at E3, Sabotaging a Submarine demo and Firefight on Wall Street demo. Those aren't the proper names, that's just how I'll refer to them. Microsoft opened the conference with the Submarine demo, which might have been a mistake when flipping the coin to see which demo to show off, since I actually felt bored watching the footage. Or maybe I suffer from Call of Duty fatigue. Modern Warfare 3 will be the fifth game in as many years, but I think the Call of Duty fan that has been playing the same game since last year is going to like this. After seeing more of the game in the Wall Street demo, this game looks and plays like Call of Duty, especially the section of the demo set in New York City. The scale of the environments and the verticality of the buildings were very impressive. But don't be confused, this is still not an open environment. Call of Duty has a set path that you need to run down, where explosions go off, and if there's a helicopter, you know it's going to crash. Of course, Modern Warfare 3 is going to make millions of dollars and sell millions of copies. But I'm very interested to see if people are into Call of Duty enough to buy the next iteration, or if the sales finally topped out after last year's Call of Duty Black Ops. Who knows, multiplayer is always fun, who even cares about the single player game? We'll find out on November 8th this year. Next, Microsoft showed off the newly rebooted Tomb Raider. And while you might think, Microsoft is showing off the game because it looks so nice, which it does, I think they want to show off the game that would rival Uncharted 3. That's just my take on it, because Tomb Raider looks like a dead ringer for copying the Uncharted-style gameplay. Which is ironic, since a few years back you would have described Uncharted as a Tomb Raider-style game. So everything's come full circle. Nevertheless, Tomb Raider has me interested because I'm a fan of the series. And not just because of the full D-cup jugs. I love puzzle rooms. I can't get enough of how the hell do you get up there from down here. But all that has changed for Lara Croft since this is a reimagining. Just pretend you heard it chime. A reimagining of her origin story. Before you sigh and lower your head, this story just might be better than the lore that is already in place. Instead of being trained by an old master as a child, Lara is 20 years old when her boat shipwrecks on a mysterious island. Lara has to survive alone on the island since she's the sole survivor of her shipwreck. And then the skills that she learns on the island will make her the Lara Croft that she becomes to be. This will be the third or fourth time Tomb Raider has been rebooted, so we'll have to see if it's a win or a flop. Tomb Raider is set to release fall 2012. Gears of War 3. Go and finish the final battle that ends all to complete the war of the ending in the finish, blah, blah, blah. I'm really sick of the second game being a follow-up, but the third game is an epic trilogy. They did state in 2005 that Gears of War would be a trilogy. But who doesn't? It's a marketing tool. Gears of War 3 looks bigger in scale and more polished than the previous games, and the multiplayer will be hosted on a dedicated server from Epic Games. The only thing I'm hung up on is the gameplay showed off seemed to be more about running and gunning action than taking cover, which maybe they want to speed up the gameplay, but this requires unlearning techniques from the third game that you were taught in the first two games. But we'll find how it all ends up on September 20th this year. Forza 4. It's exactly what it sounds like. Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary is not just a rumor anymore. To celebrate the original game's release 10 years ago, they're releasing a completely remastered version of the classic on Xbox 360 with completely redone visuals. 10 years seems a little premature to be celebrating, but it's better that Microsoft get into the groove of making HD remakes and remasters, considering Sony's doing a better job of bringing game series out in HD collections. Halo 1 Remastered comes out this holiday season. And then the big surprise of the Microsoft conference, Halo 4, the beginning of a new trilogy, which means there will be Halo 5 and Halo 6. No shock there. The CG trailer was nice, but CG trailers don't mean anything to me. It's not gameplay. So just be happy there's a Halo coming in 2012, most likely November 2012. And now you may roll your eyes and pretend to gag yourself as I talk about Kinect. It's virtually all Microsoft talked about at their conference. It truly did go on and on. And I understand if you sell 10 million units of Kinect, you should support that platform. But besides Forza 4, Gears of War 3, and a Halo remake, Microsoft has no first-party exclusives for 2011 other than Kinect games. Pretty pathetic. I mean, come on!
Come on!
So here we go. Remember that $150 motion-tracking super-advanced camera you bought? Well, the companies are using it for voice recognition. The best technology use they're showing off for the Kinect is the microphone. The Sims 3, Pets. Use your Kinect to talk to your pets. Fantastic. Mass Effect 3. Instead of using your thumbs to select good or evil responses, you read it aloud to select your response. Which could work if it was solely your voice speaking to the characters on screen, but the dialogue choices are just shorthand for what Commander Shepard is going to say, which he'll say what you just said moments after you said it. Ghost Recon Future Soldier showed off a neat trick called Gunsmith, where you voice a selection to look at parts of a gun. And while it's fun to see an exploded diagram of your gun and all of its parts, it's still not gameplay. And then there are a few games built for Kinect. Fable, The Journey, looks to be the best use of Kinect, using hand gestures to create spells and then shoot fireballs at the enemies, even though you're on rails and it'll play like a light gun game. There's also Kinect Star Wars, which is a terribly unoriginal title. It looks pretty good. You wave your arms like you're holding a lightsaber, slicing droids in half. But the problem is it doesn't look like it's one-to-one swordplay, meaning when you swipe down your lightsaber, there's an animation that goes along with swiping down your lightsaber, and not a real-time interaction swinging a lightsaber. And of course, both problems that Fable the Journey and Kinect Star Wars have is Microsoft forgot to put in a Z-axis. So you're forever on rails in these games. You might have a character lean left or right, but there's no feeling of movement. Maybe it's just a limitation of Kinect and someday a company will figure out how to do it. For example, Kinect Star Wars used a quick lean forward movement, kind of like a headbutt, to advance the character forward. But still, just not in any other direction. Tim Schafer's working on a Kinect Sesame Street game. But I'll cover that story when 4-year-olds start tuning into this fucking podcast. And if a 4-year-old is listening to this podcast, they just heard me say fuck. And I'm not going to mention that Minecraft is coming to Xbox 360 because it's not really a game. And now I want to end with the biggest surprise of the Microsoft E3 2011 press conference, the announcement of Dance Central 2. Who saw this coming? I'm as stunned as you are. It's amazing. It's crazy. I thought they'd be one and done with this game. I can't believe they're making a franchise out of it. No one saw this coming. And I really can't wait for next year when they announce Dance Central 3 to complete the trilogy and finish the last dance of the end to fight to the completion of the final in the War of Done. The next press conference to cover is EA. Electronic Arts is an international conglomerate that is big, evil, and money hungry. But they're also publishing some of the greatest games coming out in 2011. EA had the second best showing at E3, and here's why. Mass Effect 3, another epic trilogy, was shown off and looks great. The worry of simplifying the game to reach a larger audience didn't seem to be destructive at all. The improved movements from cover and dodging attacks, along with the close quarters combat, only seems to ramp up the action, without changing the game into a strictly full-fledged shooter. The demo showed off a great set piece where Commander Shepard is being chased by a giant Reaper as he's manning a turret, ratcheting up the scale of the action beyond any previous Mass Effect game. Mass Effect 3 has a release date of March 6th, 2012. The next game is Need for Speed The Run. I was really hoping the plot of this game is your character needs to get home to use the toilet. Need for Speed is doing something different with this game that's very interesting for a car franchise. You get out and run. From what they've shown in the demo, after driving, you'll crash your car. This then makes you get out of the car and start running on foot. But this isn't going to turn into Mirror's Edge. The driving section looks perfect, but the running is going to divide people's opinions. I'm not sure how many people buy a Need for Speed game to abandon their car and control what seems to be like a series of QuickTime events, simply pressing triangle to dodge objects in your path. We'll see how it's received when Need for Speed, The Run, is released on November 15th. Star Wars The Old Republic. The MMO that's still not out, has no release date, and all they did was show a CG video. It's nice, but CG isn't gameplay, so no news for you. SSX is back, and it's not a tactical black operative mission that last year's E3 suggested. Sometimes, if enough people call foul, the developers listen, and that's exactly what happened with SSX. It's been a while since the last game, so I'll refresh your memory that SSX is an over-the-top, trick-based snowboarding game, and that's exactly what EA showed at the press conference. Big air tricks, bright vibrant colors, electronic groove music, and massive mountains. It's still very early, but it looks very good. Look forward to the return of SSX January 2012. Madden 12 is being released on August 30th. You already know if you're going to buy it. Insomniac has announced Overstrike. Just a CG trailer was shown, but before I stop mid-sentence and move on to an actual game, I do want to talk about this because the trailer caught my interest. The game looks like it's going to be a four-person co-op, third-person game. Did you get that? Four people can play in a third-person perspective. Each of the four characters has a special power and strange weapons that look like a lot of fun. But the most striking part of Overstrike is it's the first game to be released on another console besides a Sony system. Since Insomniac started in 1996, Overstrike will be released for PS3 and Xbox 360, but no date is yet available. Finally, and I do not mean to sell this game short whatsoever, Battlefield 3 looks stunning. Photorealistic, amazing graphics, I want to play it today kind of wow factor. I really can't sell this game to you by describing it. You just have to go see the video of the demo. Battlefield 3 is released on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and PC on October 25th, 2011, this year, this fall. Next up, we have Sony. Sony had a great press conference. In my opinion, I think they won E3, or whatever that means. They brought hardcore games, they showed their support for Move in a timely manner, Microsoft, and introduced a brand new portable system, the PSP Vita. Just say PSV. First game to talk about, Uncharted 3. Looks amazing. After a long time of showing off the Building on Fire demo, developer Naughty Dog brought a new demo to E3 that looks even better. The demo takes place on a ship, where the water rocks the environment back and forth in real time with the physics engine. And the water looks amazing. You know what? I don't even need to sell this game. Uncharted 1 was a success. Uncharted 2 was named Game of the Year by many publications. Just go buy Uncharted 3 when it's released on November 1st. Resistance 3. This is one game I can't speak for, because I've never seen the attraction to this series. If that sounds unprofessional, I'm not a professional. I'm barely a journalist, more of an editorialist or a critic, or just an asshole. But I do tell women that I'm a journalist at the bar to impress them. Resistance 3 is released on September 6th. Psycho and Shadow of Colossus HD Collection finally has a release window of September. And on a related game, it's unfortunate nothing was shown, not even a new trailer, for Team Ico's third game, The Last Guardian. This will mark the third E3 that has come and gone since The Last Guardian was first shown. No release date is given, maybe 2012. Speaking of HD collections, God of War Origins will be released on PlayStation 3. The collection contains God of War Chains of Olympus and God of War Ghost of Sparta. These are the two games from PSP, but remastered in HD. And if you care, they'll be in 3D. So PSP to PS3 in HD in 3D. Got it. Infamous 2. No need to tell you about it, it's already out in stores. Go read a review, buy it, or rent it. But the developers of Infamous 2 are already working on their next game, Sly Cooper 4, Thieves in Time. There was only a CG teaser released, but you should be excited there's a Sly Cooper 4 in development. Finally, Sony's next generation portable, the NGP, finally has a name, and it's Vita. The visuals look great, the system is powerful, the screen is a touchscreen with a rear touchpad, front and rear cameras, and most importantly, dual analog sticks. Pretty much everything you can think of for a killer machine, and it costs $250 for a Wi-Fi version, or a 3G internet compatible version for $300. But the service provider's AT&T. With the 3DS not setting the world on fire, and the PS Vita, matching the price at $250. If the developers deliver on making solid games for the PSV, this handheld could be a success. Or $250 is too damn expensive for a handheld device, so the 3DS and the Vita will both fail. But if Sony ever had a chance to get into the portable gaming market, now would be the time. And finally, let's talk about the Nintendo press conference. This was a conference I was very much looking forward to. Shigeru Miyamoto, who I tried to interview on the last episode of Game Stuff, but didn't anticipate the language barrier, came out to talk about the 25th anniversary of Zelda. But I hope you didn't fall completely asleep during the montage of Zelda games, because that's where they put the new footage of Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. And then that was about it. They probably wanted to show a quick video instead of doing a demo that went wrong last year with the interference with the Wii controller. Made them look like a bunch of assholes in front of everyone. But Miyamoto did confirm that the Skyward Sword is done and will be coming out this holiday season on the Wii and not their next console. Although I hope they continue working on the game because it doesn't look that great. That's just my opinion, but then again, this is just my show. The point is, graphically, The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess from the GameCube looks a lot better than the new title, Skyward Sword. Maybe it's just an art style they're shooting for, but I think they missed. The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword comes out this holiday season. And that concludes the game releases for Nintendo Wii. That's it. Pathetic holiday lineup. Hope you like Zelda. Next we have the Nintendo 3DS games. Mario Kart 3D. You knew it was going to happen, so here it is. Star Fox 64 3D. Don't know why they left on the 64 tag. Nintendo repackages their games all the time. Why not remove the 64? Makes it sound kind of old when it's brand new. Kid Icarus looks fun. It has multiplayer for 3-on-3 matches, but still has no firm release date. And Luigi's Mansion 2, because the world was just begging for a sequel. All four mentioned games will be released sometime in 2011. But finally, Super Mario 3D. Super Mario 3D looks pretty good, borrowing the art aesthetic from Super Mario Galaxy, but the footage they showed looked like it had a fixed camera for each angle that Mario would run, suggesting that you didn't have control of the camera. Whether this is a good or bad thing is yet to be seen. It's just an oddity I've noticed, but I can't remember there ever being a bad Super Mario game. And yes, I include Super Mario Sunshine. I liked it. So be excited for the Super Mario game. And he also has the cute little Tanuki suit from Super Mario 3, but they did not show if he could fly. And it's great that these five titles will be coming out before the end of the year, but honestly, at least one of them should have been a launch title for the 3DS. And then finally, Nintendo unveiled their new console, called the Wii U, as in the letter U. Not a great name, but they did make mention that the Wii sounded very odd before people got used to saying it, so maybe they're right. The Wii U will have to grow on you. Ugh. But enough about the name, here's what it is. It's a console that is as powerful as the PlayStation 3 or Xbox, but the hook here is the controller. The Wii U controller is a tablet with a 6.2-inch touchscreen, two analog sticks, a D-pad, four face buttons, also left and right shoulder buttons, a camera and microphone for video chat, and the whole design looks like an iPad with buttons along the side. The actual system sits near your TV, and the controller talks to the console wirelessly. The game and the tech is all in the console. So this is not a portable device, but I wouldn't expect it to be. The touchscreen is used for multiple things, but the two most important are the ability to use the screen as a second display for your TV, letting the game HUD information, item inventory, or map appear right on your interactive controller. The other use is you can turn off your TV and play the game directly on the screen, which is innovative. Very cool tech. Sound good? Okay, because here's the part where I complain about the Nintendo Wii U. This innovative controller is now your controller. Meaning you're stuck using this thing. It's powerful enough to play Call of Duty, but who would use a controller this massive to play a fast-paced action game like Call of Duty, when it's hard enough to get a killstreak going with an Xbox controller? I'm sure it can be done, but it's gotta be awkward playing with something the size of an Etch-a-Sketch in your hands. And the selling point of using the controller's screen because it frees up the TV? I don't have that problem. I don't know who would want to play Batman Arkham City on a 6-inch screen because they can't wait to watch TV and keep playing. Save the game and play it later on your 64-inch HD TV you paid for. And honestly, who's really tying up the TV these days? Between DVR and the internet, people watch TV when they want. It's a solution for a problem that no one has. Unless you're a parent and your kid is tying up the TV, but then again, why did Nintendo make a hardcore machine if it's going to be sold to casual players? Why did they make it as powerful as a PS3 if they're going to shoot for the same casual market?
Gabe Stuff is wrapping up.
Okay, that has been the E3 Spectacular 2011 coverage on the press conferences. There's a ton of games I didn't even mention, like Deus Ex, Skyrim, Bioshock Infinite, Dark Souls, Dead Island, Saints Row, Prototype 2, Anarchy Reign, Ninja Gaiden 3, Silent Hill Downpour, Starhawk, and a game I'm going to talk about in the future in length, Prey 2. Two big disappointments for this E3. No GTA 5 and no Half-Life 3. Not even Half-Life 2 Episode 3. GTA 5 I really didn't expect. I expected to see a big V on a monitor or something letting you know it's coming, but someone said Rockstar is bigger than E3, and I completely believe that. They've never really participated with E3, which is actually kind of cool of them. This has been a very long episode of Super Game Stuff, so let me just wrap this up very quickly. This is Coke Logic signing off for Super Big Kev's Game Stuff.